Our choir will be leading us in 2 weeks at Palm Sunday. Part of the tradition here at St. Paul is on Palm Sunday, about the majority of the service, they lead us in that particular day in song. So I do want to invite you on that day. It's 11 o'clock will be on the service that they'll guide us and direct us in worship. Let's pray. Oh God, as we now move into a different aspect of worship where we want to engage the scripture lesson, we give thanks that with the addition of your Holy Spirit in the reading and the hearing of the lesson, that the gospel comes. And it has the ability to bury itself deep down into the depths of our soul and begin a work or continue a work. In all of it, oh God, we want to be open to that today. In our heads and our hearts this morning, so that we might commune with you today in hopes that our heart changes and our nature becomes more like the nature of Christ. We pray this in your name. Amen. No, this is a spring break weekend for so many, and so some are joining us online. So if you are joining us online for worship through our online ministries, we're glad that you've taken the time to worship with us. If you're new to St. Paul, or maybe this is the first time that you've either witnessed or even a part of our worship service, we're in the middle of a sermon series, almost about halfway through. And it's a series that each week we want to focus on the different needs that might exist inside of a person. And the reason why is because we all live out of whatever our needs are. And some of our needs have been around since we were young. And so we act out of that. Either we will act directly out of those needs, or we might push them down and be in denial of them for a while and maybe present to those, to the world around us, maybe a mask or maybe something that we hope that they see, and yet it might not be who we really are. And so each week we've looked at different types. A few weeks ago when we started the sermon series, there was the need to be perfect. In our society, we call them the perfectionists. And so those types of persons, that they live in this idea of from an inner voice where that is sometimes loud in their ears and it sort of dictates and helps them throughout their life. But it's a voice of wanting to do things right and wanting to do things to be perfect. Another type of need for someone else might be the need to be needed. Those are the helpers or the givers in the world, and what they do is they'll sense the needs of other people, sometimes even before they're voiced, and will operate accordingly and seek to solve the needs that might exist inside of another person. And so their deep need is to be needed by other people. And then last week we looked at those that have a need to achieve. Or a need to succeed, and in our society we might call them the performers or the achievers, and so they'll operate according to whatever the crowd is or whatever is the expectation, and normally they draw a sense of health and a sense of fulfillment when they are performing in front of other people, and hopefully that leads to some level of success. But they operate that way. Well, today what we want to do is we want to continue that. We want to dwell now into a person who operates out of a need to be or a need to feel special. Now, numerically speaking, if we were just to sort of take a poll of all the people either in this sanctuary or the people in the world, the amount of folks who would say, yes, Shane, this is exactly who I am, or this is a part of the main needs that I have, this is going to be the smallest group, just by number. Not that many that would operate this way, but there still are a significant amount. So this is for some, this is how they live and this is how they operate, and they live out of this. They are the ones in our society that will always be the most creative. They're the ones that are the most imaginative. No one has to tell them the larger story of the world. They gravitate towards that. They want to see their part in that. They are the ones who can identify every feeling that they have. For someone like me who has to search long and hard to find a feeling, these are the ones that from day one, they know their feelings. And they express themselves most of the time in emotive language, and they thrive on their creative impulses. Often they're the most sensitive. Bohemia is their hometown. And they actually pride themselves on their quirkiness, what sets them apart, which often can lead to being misunderstood. By personality type, they're probably more introverted than extroverted. Extroverts are those persons who draw energy from other people, from being in crowds and with other people and those types of relationships. Introverts draw a sense of self and energy. They don't need all the folks. Maybe a smaller group, or maybe sometimes even by themselves. The types of persons that I'm describing today, they're going to be the ones that are the best artists. They're the ones that normally make the best therapists. They're the best dancers. They're the ones that express themselves in arts, music, fashion. They hate routine. Anything that would stifle their creativity, then 9 times out of 10, they're going to pursue something else. Because deep down, what they want more than anything else is not to be placed in a cookie-cutter mode. And so they'll go to great lengths to show their uniqueness, to show their difference. Sometimes that shows up in aesthetics, maybe how they dress. They're the Vincent Van Goghs of the world. Your Edgar Allan Poe's, your Johnny Depp's. If you've read or seen the movie The Twilight series, they're the Bella character. Some of you now are smiling, so if you actually engaged the sermon, it's only taken me in about 5 minutes, but, you know, that's all right. If you like theater, the play Rent, they're the guitarist Roger Davis. That still hasn't struck a chord. If you've watched the new Disney 101 Dalmatians, now called Cruella, it's Cruella, the Emma Stone character. She would fit this mode. But in the Bible, they also exist. They're your psalm writers, your lamentation writers, your Song of Solomon writer. They're also Elijah. Elijah, now we didn't have a chance to read all the chapters leading up to chapter 19. It's a handful of chapters, but this is after where Elijah had the showdown with the different prophets on the mountain, and he's left the mountain, and Jezebel has signed his death warrant, and along the way to chapter 19, he is confronted, or he runs into another prophet, Obadiah, and Obadiah says, "Where are you going?" And Elijah said, "Well, I'm the only one who's been faithful. I'm the one. Everybody else, they've left or they've died or they've turned and ran, but not me. I am the one that's faithful." And even in the face of Obadiah, who is faithful, even in his words where he looked at Elijah and said, "Elijah, you're not the only one. I've got thousands. You know, there are a number of prophets that are hiding out in the caves." But for Elijah, he thought he was the only one. These types of persons that I'm describing, they are incredibly gifted in reflection. You don't have to teach them the ability to look back and analyze their past, to reflect on their life. Also with the future gifted, have a great imagination. They love the question, "What if?" And they are the people, either in your family or in society, that are the best dreamers in the world. And what's so good about them is because it's easy for them to express who they are, for those of us who have trouble with expression, they're our helper. They actually help us in this way. I shared last week that finding expression for what I'm actually feeling is something that is a struggle for me. And through my children, what I've learned to love is theater. Now, to give you a frame of reference, I don't think we mentioned the word theater a single time in my upbringing, ever. Now, if it was a sport, and if it involved being a jock, Now, that was home cooking for us. But to find expression through the arts, well, that has been so helpful to me. These persons understand that from day one. Now, when they find themselves in a place where it's not their best day, they can hyper-focus on, say, the negative. We might call that melancholy. Victor Hugo said that melancholy is happiness in being sad. Sometimes they live in a constant state of change. They don't have feelings. They are their feelings. And what they long is to hold what always seems to be just beyond their grasp. Because what they want is for what was lost to be restored. So somewhere along the way in their life, it could be when either in their family system, it could be just what they acquired growing up, maybe in the first 20 years of their life, they perceived that they were misunderstood or maybe even abandoned. And that could have been from death, that could have been from a tragic loss, it could have been from something like a divorce. And so what they want is to restore what was lost, even if they can't verbalize it. And the way they seek to do that is by being unique, often through their own creativity. Now, if this is something that's resonating with you, or if you're in a relationship with someone that's similar to this, then you know that being in relationship with them, when it's good, it's great. It's like heaven on earth. But when it's not, and you find yourself in a rut, well, it can feel like the lowest of the lows. Because everything for this type of person is always just with more intensity. But people like this can awaken others to beauty that maybe they've never seen before. And they're the ones that when they are with you, they're the ones who you want to walk through the valley of the shadow of death with you, because they are the ones that can empathize and fully identify with what you are feeling, thinking, or experiencing. And for them, authenticity, that's their goal. It's critical. They'll even be authentic in a relationship, even if it's problematic. Because the worst thing for them is to be in a cookie-cutter mode. For them, the worst thing would be for Romeo and Juliet to be married, to have 3 children, to buy a house, and to get a job that works 9 to 5. That routine, that mundane, sometimes can even be suffocating. And for them to be ignored can be very hurtful, because they'll perceive as if they don't matter. So like with any person, or any time that we find ourselves maybe operating out of our needs, whether it be the need to be perfect, the need to be needed, the need to achieve, or the need to feel special, what we want more than anything else is self-awareness. It's not about labels or pigeonholing, but it's about a sense of knowing who we are, so that then the choices we make them in ways that lead to health and not lead to struggle. And so when a person like this is unaware, their major struggle is going to be with envy. Just as maybe the perfectionist or the need to be perfect, their major struggle might be with anger and resentment. The need to be needed, their major struggle might be with pride. The need to succeed, their major struggle might be with deceit. This person is going to struggle most of the time with envy. Envy is a desire where you desire a characteristic that is lacking in you, but you see is present in another person. Now, it's different from jealousy. Jealousy is the fear of losing something that you already have. But envy is where you see something in somebody else, and what you desire and wish is that it was yours. And so sometimes people like this can fixate on something in hopes that it would fill the void in their life. And in doing so, They're blinded to all the things that already exist around them. Helen Palmer, who would say she is this type of person, said this about relationships. How is it that other people seem to hold hands and smile a lot? What do they have in each other that I do not? So a person like this would often say the same thing. So John Calvin said that you can only know God to the degree that you know yourself. So what might a person like this do that could help with self-awareness, knowing who they are, so that in hopes that they could know God on a deeper level? So I want to give you a couple of things to consider. The first one is this. People who, if this is, again, if I'm describing the major needs of your life, describing how you function and how you operate, then consider accountability. People like this, I mean, to some degree, we all need accountability. But people like this need either an accountability partner or a friend, or maybe in a small group or a community, because inside of that relationship, they're able to speak their own sense of brokenness and at the same time to hear the brokenness of another person. And there's something about being in a community where you can see who you are, but you see it inside of a larger concept or larger story. And accountability partners for people like this can teach that you can actually be in relationship and even detach and not withdraw. To acknowledge without agreement. Which you think it might be easy, but in our society, we've lost this ability. And so often, we need people like this in our life. Not just accountability, the embracing again of just mundane service. We all want the mountaintop. Or if it's not the mountaintop, we might not want the valley, but we know the mountaintop and we know the valley. But everyday life is not the mountaintop nor the valley. Everyday life is in the middle. And so there's something about owning and reclaiming that again through general just service. In either a ministry or an environment where it's not flashy, maybe it's even dirty, and you get your hands in the soil and the mud. And that's just as redeemable as the mountaintop. Some of you have read Thomas Merton's works. He would identify as the type of person I'm describing, and he said he found a sense of wholeness of all places in a monastery where the rules were defined, and it's the same thing every single day. Many of you know that Brother Lawrence is in church history is one that I often will read and pay attention to his works. And Brother Lawrence was a contemporary of St. Francis, and he wanted so desperately to be a part of the Franciscan order, and time and time and time again was denied. And so he became a cook, not a chef. There's a difference. And the dishwasher. And then eventually when they approved his application to be an actual part of the order, to be a brother in the order, he actually turned it down because he found wholeness in the everyday mundane activity of washing dishes and cooking a meal. But he also understood that left unchecked, without a sense of self-awareness, what he longed to be was special. That was his major need. I have a good friend of mine. She lives in Macon. When we lived in Macon and served in Macon, she was on my staff, and she would identify herself as the type of person that I'm describing. And what I noticed about her that I thought was fantastic is once a quarter, she would take a long weekend and go spend it at Greenbow House of Prayer, I don't know if you've ever been to Greenbelt House of Prayer. It's in the middle of the state. There's nothing fancy about this place at all. This is whatever you think about the Ritz, this is the opposite of that. It's just four cinder blocks and a roof. And she would spend 3 to 4 days there. And she found a sense of solace in just following the rules, doing the mundane. But for her, this is what she needed. She can live on the mountaintop, she can live in the valley. She needed something to help her live in the middle, Monday to Friday. And she found it there. And then the last thing is this. Now, it's good for anybody, don't get me wrong. But for a person like this, a daily gratitude journal, where you each day, or at least for a number of days throughout the week, you stopped and focused on all the blessings that are already there around you. And to not look at that one thing that's not, or become overly focused of just what is just beyond your grasp, and to see the 10 to 20, maybe even 100 things that are already around you. It's amazing what just a few minutes a day, focusing on the things that you're most grateful for, how that can anchor us and give us a sense of balance in our life. Now, again, by number, not many people will identify with this person. But if you do, this overarching need of a need to be special, a need to be unique. You also know that that probably stems from a loss in your life. Self-awareness is crucial. There is no holiness without self-awareness. There is no wholeness without self-awareness. And so whether we admit it or like it or not, we all have different needs. Might not be this one. But those needs dictate our life. And the more we are aware, well, as John Calvin said, you can only know God to the degree that you know yourself. So being aware about who we are helps us so that we can know God on a deeper level. Oh God, as we find ourselves going through this sermon series where we're looking at the different needs in our life and sometimes even the things that we're afraid to admit and maybe even the masks that we wear. Lord, for those that might live out of this need to be special, just like all of us, oh God, help us all to find a sense of wholeness in your grace and your mercy. May you continually guide and direct us, O God, as we seek to follow you in heart and in head and with hands. Guide us and direct us, we pray, and we pray this in your name. Amen.